Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Thank you.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't Lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Well, I was born in Brownsville in the 50s, and I lived on 45th and Forestville, which is a little short block, which is a great residential neighborhood. After the restrictive covenant was lifted, we moved to Chatham. And I grew up in Chatham, and then went away to college, came back, lived in Hyde Park, raised my kids in Hyde Park, and when they were grown, quickly zipped it back to Brownsville.
Really? What prompted your move right back to Brownsville?
Well, it was really in my soul. I mean, I remember as a kid with my daddy.
Gathered in their masses, just like like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. This world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees of war pigs crawling. Begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
on if you guys want to touch on it after we get past our main topic today here on Slave Entrepreneur Month and Black Towns History Month. Today we're going to feature the human calculator. But if you guys want to touch on it as well, a trending topic, Russia has attacked Ukraine. At least that's what some of the headlines are saying. So that's why we played War Pigs. And, of course, one of the cults of personality is Mr. Putin.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
All right, cult of personality, like we'll see. What's happening in Ukraine? A lot of people say the Ukraine, but no, the correct is the Republic of Ukraine, but it's Ukraine. And I got a chat buddy over that way, so it's interesting to hear her point of view versus what we see in or what we read in American media or hear or what have you. Today, we're doing another Think Like a Slave, adding on to that series. And today we're going to be featuring Thomas Fuller, the human calculator. Now, before we get Thomas Fuller, the human calculator, and Thomas was born in 1710 and transitioned in 1790. So we're going to call him the original, for the sake of this conversation, original documented human calculator. But before I get into him, I want to first touch in on Scott Flansburgh. Scott, who's still living, he was born in December 28th, he's a white dude, 1963. He was dubbed the American dubbed him as the human calculator. All right, he's listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for his speed and mental calculation, and he is the annual host and ambassador for the National Counting Bee. A math educator and media personality, he has published books on math magic and math magic for kids. Now, his occupation is listed as mental calculator. Early life. Flansburgh was born on December 28, 1963, in Herkimer, New York. He has stated that he was 9 years old when he discovered his mental calculation abilities. He says he wasn't paying attention to in math class when a teacher asked him to add four numbers on the blackboard. Instead of adding the numbers from right to left, as they had been taught, and remember that little part right there, as they had been taught, he added them from left to right and solved the problem. Intrigued by math, he began keeping a running tally of his family's groceries at the store so his father could give the cashier an exact check before the total was even rung up. In his youth, he also began noticing the shapes and numbers, angles in numbers, were clues as to their value, and began counting from 0 to 9 on his fingers instead of 1 through 10. Early career. Flansburgh can mentally add, subtract, multiply, divide, and find the square root and cube roots almost instantly with calculator accuracy. Around 1990, he began using his abilities to in an entertainment and educational context. In 1991, he was involved in the creation of the human calculator system, a product designed for direct marketing salespeople, consisting of a study guide of four cassette recordings teaching his method. In the spring of that year, he appeared on the infomercial show Amazing Discoveries, hosted by Mike Levy. Okay, let me see. The Guinness Book of World Records listed him as the fastest human calculator. In 2001 and 2003, he broke the record for adding the same number of itself more times in 15 seconds than somebody can do it within a calculator. In 1999, he invented a 13-month calendar using zero as a day, month, and year, which he called the Human Calculator Calendar. I got to tune in on this dude. He's also got this counting bee. He's an educator. Okay. All right, he's still among the living. Now, that's Scott Flansburgh. Now, let's go to the person that I wanted to talk about today. There isn't a whole lot I've discovered about him yet, but his name was Thomas Fuller. Thomas Fuller, and let's read about him, because I'm calling him the original human calculator. Here we go. All right. Thomas Fuller, 1710, December 1790, sunset date. Also known as Negro Tom and the Virginia Calculator, was an enslaved African renowned for his mathematical abilities. I'm reading this off of Wikipedia, as I've been doing every day. All right. History. He was born in Africa, somewhere between present-day Liberia and Benin. Fuller was enslaved and shipped to America in 1724 at the age of 14, eventually becoming the legal property of Presley and Elizabeth Cox of Alexandria, Virginia. Both Fuller and the Coxes were illiterate, period. We really need to take a look at what the word literate is and who really is literate versus illiterate. I'll come back to that later. All right. Blacks were equal. All right. Wait. The Coxes enslaved 16 people and appeared to value Fuller the most. He expressed gratitude for not being sold. Stories of his abilities abound through the eastern seaboard. His skill was even used as proof that enslaved blacks were equal to whites in intelligence. All right? Which fueled some abolitionist discussions. Documentation of abilities. When Fuller was about 70 years old, Williams Hawthorne and Samuel Coates of Pennsylvania were in Alexandria, Virginia, and having heard of Fuller's powers, sent for him. They asked him two questions which he satisfied their curiosity. First, when they asked him how many seconds were there in a year and a half, he answered each question in turn in about 2 minutes. 43,304,000 seconds. Second question, when they asked how many seconds a man has lived who is 70 years, 17 days, 12 hours old, he answered in 1 minute and a half, 2,212,500,800 seconds. One of the men was working out a problem on paper and informed Fuller that his answer was too high. Fuller hastily replied, he said, "Top master, you forgot the leap year." I love it. Here's a legal slave correcting the master. Okay. When the leap year was added, the sums matched. Despite Fuller's perfect answers, he appeared to Hawthorne and Coates that his mental abilities must have once been greater, they wrote. He was gray-haired and exhibited several other marks of weakness of old age. He had worked hard upon farming during his whole life, but had never been intemperate in his use of spirituous liquors. He spoke great respect of his mistress. He mentioned in a particular matter of his obligations to her for refusing to sell him. Shit, the dude was a damn accountant. Okay. She had been tempted by others, large sums of money, from several people. One of the gentlemen, Mr. Coates, having remarked in his presence that it was a pity that he had not had education to his genius. Thomas Fuller responded, "No, Master. It's best that I had no learning, for many learned men be great fools." What did he learn before he was enslaved in Africa? In my opinion, Thomas Fuller was very literate when it came to math. When it came to math, you know, figures and all that, and I'm figuring now, see, he wasn't illiterate when it came to math and arithmetic and you know, at that type of stuff. Now, the people who bought him, when it came to, you know, they couldn't read, write, or deal with numbers. It's something that, well, not only Elijah Muhammad said, but anybody would say that. Mathematics is a language. 1 + 1 on Earth is the same as it is on Pluto or the Sun or in the next galaxy or the next 100 galaxies over. Mathematics is a language. Take a if you take a chemistry class, a physics class, calculus class, advanced math, it's a language. Anyway, so now I said, you know, we got to take a look at this word literate. Well, top of my head, that a person who can't read or write, that's too narrow. You know, that's my take. One of the reasons why, in my opinion, on a critical mass basis, why black men, some black men, not all black men, get into these, you know, things with the police and we get shot. Part of the reason, in my opinion, just my opinion on a critical mass basis, each case is different, is too many of us law literate. And part of that law literacy is some of us haven't grasped the concept of compliance. Not judging, just some of us have not. We haven't grasped that concept of compliance, you know. Stop. You know, license registration. Please step up. Don't sell the cigarettes. Some of us, for some reason, not all of us, because there's some bizarre cases out here. Like, you know, the guy sitting down in the privacy of his own home eating ice cream. That man, that's too bizarre. You really can't explain that away. But there's a lot of cases where compliance. I don't think some people have really grasped that concept. And I'll put all that under law literacy. Or what, there's law literacy, there are different distinctions of law literacy, because we can talk about estate planning. That's one branch of the law. You know, that's different from family law, different from criminal law. So there's a lot of different distinctions out here. There are a lot of different literacies. The bridge or a stadium, man, there's different literacies involved with that. You know, I for one, I don't know nothing about that type of stuff, but I would go to somebody like Pianchi who's literate in that. Okay. You know, obviously, you're not going to try to start off building an elaborate bridge or building a stadium or something like that. You got to start off, you know, what's step one? What are the fundamentals? So Thomas Fuller, he was literate because, you know, his math skills got out there. He was offered money. He wasn't sold. And I'm saying his literacy, the way they put it, because he said his masters and he were both illiterate. Well, no. Let's say his masters didn't know how to read and write nor count. All right. Number one, he was born in Benin. That's where he came from, Benin, Africa, or what we call Benin today. All right. When they enslaved him, he was speaking a language, or he was speaking at least two languages. He was speaking the native tribal language from that particular area of Benin, and the other language that he spoke was mathematics, which is universal around from Earth to Pluto or wherever. All right. When he came over here, he had to learn to survive. He had to learn another language, whatever brand of English they were speaking at the time in Alexandria, Virginia. So this guy was bilingual, actually trilingual by that time. He knew the tribal language. He had to pick up English. And he had a mathematical vocabulary. So this Thomas Fuller, in my book, was nowhere near illiterate. Sorry, Wikipedia. Whoever wrote that, I had to disagree with you on that. And I'm sure that the people that purchased him kept him around because he was very valuable and made sure that they were not cheated. Because typically people who owned slaves were merchants. They had some type of a business. All right. And I like the line, and I'm paraphrasing, when the guy said it's a shame that he was, man, I agree with Thomas Fuller. Man, had he went to their school, he would have been all messed up. I was telling a friend of mine a few nights ago, you know, who not, and I'm a college graduate myself, but I find myself constantly just learning stuff that, in my opinion, I should have learned before I was even 10 years old. And I say the defining moment in life, there's some defining moments in life where you realize what you learned in from grades 1 through 12, and I'm speaking on a critical mass basis. I'm not even getting to the college part. That you weren't taught some of the fundamentals of, you know, living, which I've said on here plenty of times, you know. Back during the day of Thomas Fuller, it was no big deal. A whole lot of people built their own homes and didn't have no mortgages on their house. Now, you got people with mortgages on their homes that don't know how to build their house. They got to contract out to somebody else or find something they already built and then move into that. In any event, hats off to Thomas Fuller, who I call the original human calculator. And if you want to brush up on your math skills, then let's take at one of the current human calculators, Scott Flansburgh, which I'll be doing more. He's got a couple of publications out. Math Magic and Math Magic for Your Kids. So, and we will, next month or whatever, you know, check people like him out. Okay, before we go to the phone lines here, What does this article say here?
Every black person on the planet who has been exposed to white supremacy, and the assumption is every black person on the planet has been, even when they haven't been in contact with white people directly. They've been exposed to the white culture indirectly. White culture is about white supremacy. Now, what does white supremacy do? It teaches people of color that if you are a male, you cannot be a man, period. Not in the system of white supremacy. And you're not going to be treated like a man, ever. Now, you can walk around and think that you're a man, but that's between you and you, strictly between you and yourself. Because no white person has an obligation, if you're a black male, to treat you like you are a man. And it's logical, simply because in the system of white supremacy, it's impossible for a black male to be a man. It doesn't make any difference how old he gets or what he knows or who, what kind of connections. That can't be done. I just start with myself. I'm not eligible, not qualified to be a man. Why? Because I was born in captivity, that's why. When you're in captivity, when you're a prisoner of war, you are strictly that and nothing else, a prisoner of war, a victim of white supremacy. And you don't have another title. You can give yourselves all kinds of titles, which is why black people love titles. We give ourselves all kinds of titles. We give each other all kinds of titles. Some titles, it's not as bad as it was in the old days. I say bad, if you want to use that word. But some people used to say professor, reverend, most high. I mean, before you ever get to a name, you would have about 40 titles. You know, when somebody introduces you, if you're supposed to be what you call a big shot Negro in the old days. This is not new. This goes way back. That struggle. Oh, I'd just love to be a man. I mean, what can it take? But by this generation, what you call the new millennia, most young black people have looked around. They have looked at the people that came before them who, since the 1960s, the white supremacists have done a rough job on black malehood. First of all, giving them an option that you can continue to be a big boy, or if you really want to get some material benefits, put on some gold slippers and skip around, I mean, and grin all the time and all like that, and have a little money in your pocket. Now you can be a black girl if you're a black male. You can be a black girl, but you cannot be a man. You will never be a man in the system of white supremacy. Now they have put that in cement. They have written, or rather in steel, or whatever you, the hardest subject, a diamond. The white supremacists have put that philosophy out here since the 1970s. That's the benchmark that I give it. All over the world, and they're spreading it. They're saying, you're not going to be a man. You're a black male, and you think you're going to be a man on my watch? On my watch? This is the voice of the white supremacists now, racist man and racist woman. Say, that's not going to happen. Say, now Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and all of that, they said that that's what they're going to make you out of, but it's not going to happen. Now, you can talk it, but you make any move to make that real, and you're going to wonder what fell on you. Now, they have made that clear to all of us, and the young black people have picked up that signal. And they say, well, if I can't be a man and I don't want to be like my sisters, I don't want to switch around all day looking for a male, and I pretend to be a female or try to switch over and be one if they can operate on me and make me one, because then things become easier. I mean, I guess, I hope, you know, but I definitely can't be a man because I'm in big trouble if I try to be, then... what can I be? Well, the white supremacist said, well, I'll give you another outside option. You can go around and pretend that you're a man by doing harm to other black people. That's cursing out black females, calling them names and all like that, write songs about them where you call them all kinds of names and kick them all up and down the street. We don't care about that. Kick your mother up and down the street. I mean, we rejoice when we see you do that, okay? But if you start acting anything like you ask for respect from us, the white supremacists, boy, you're going to get dead real quick. Most black males, we know that because they teach us that in no uncertain terms. When we really start asserting ourselves and say, you're going to respect me as a man. And the white supremacist said, you tell that to other black people. But don't you get in my face ever, boy, and act like you're even thinking like that dealing with me. Now, I'll play with you for a little while. I'll laugh and joke with you. But if you get serious and think that you're going to be a man, and when I'm here, because there ain't one man in this house, and when I say house, I mean the entire planet Earth, anytime you think with your black self you're going to be a man in my presence, you got another thing coming. Now, like I said, I'll play with you. I'll kid around with you. I'll joke with you. I'll play some ball games with you and all like that. Don't you ever think that you're a man. You're a boy, or you can act like your sisters and be a girl, and you ain't got no other choices with me. But you've got all kind of choices with your own people, even though your own people are really not your own people. They are mine, too. But you can kill them. You can tell them, ain't nobody going to disrespect you. Well, you tell that to other black people, boy. Well, don't you ever even think it in my presence. You don't even have to say it. Don't you even act like you might be thinking that. Or you're going to find out what hell is. And you know what? The white supremacists have proven that they can deliver on that message every time. And I don't care who you are, if you're black on this planet. When you really put them to an acid test, they have so far proven that nobody will take them on. Because nobody knows how to, including Neely Fuller. I'm just trying to find out. I'm in their prison, too. I was born in their prison, too. So to get to the crux of what we're talking about here, for black males, we're talking about manhood. And it's not going to happen, folks. As long as you have the system of white supremacy in place and not having a system of justice, this is why, rather than run around killing each other, that's not going to help.
I told you a little while ago, these leaders that they call leaders, this included Lena Horne, this included Dick Gregory, and this included comedians, comics, trumpet players, baseball players. Show me in the white community where a comedian is a white leader. Show me in the white community where a singer is a white leader, or a dancer or a trumpet player is a white leader. These aren't leaders. These are puppets and clowns that have been set up over the white community and or over the black community by the white community and have been made celebrities and usually say exactly what they know that the white man wants to hear. And it is an honor, actually, that they endorsed Dr. Martin Luther King and were against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's actually an honor. Now, when you say that they also, in the same Newsweek poll magazine, I think the pollster said that he went into the Negro community and asked about the Muslims. And many Negroes whom he asked said, well, I never heard of the Muslims. Who are they? You know,
this is the rank and file we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Now, when they got down to the rank and file, this was the answers that they got. This is the equivalent to the situation in Kenya during the Mau Mau uprising, when many frightened whites in Kenya, Africa, would go among the Africans and ask them, what about the Mau Mau? And the African would say, I never heard of them. And the same white man who would ask the African this question and very naively believe what the African said, when he went to bed that night, he would lose his head. And usually the one who took his head was the same African who told him that afternoon he had never heard of the Mau Mau.
Except in the Newsweek poll, they used Negro interviewers.
You'll find that oftentimes Negroes are as much on guard around Negro interviewers who usually represent the bourgeois element of Negroes as they are on guard around whites. Usually Negroes know that when this bourgeois Negro walks through the door, he is not doing something that he's initiated himself, but he's involved in something in which the white man is the absolute author of and has sent him to the Negro community for some information. And when they give that Negro some information, usually they give him the information that they want the white want him to take back to the white man, because that's who he's going to take it back to.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with Nellie Fuller on his thing on man, black manhood or manhood and can't get out of it. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Anyway, back to Think Like a Slave. Today we featured Thomas Fuller, who I call the original human calculator. You can look him up on Wikipedia. I haven't found a whole lot about him yet. Fascinating figure. And I'm sure there are others like him. I just had a problem with when in the Wikipedia article they labeled him illiterate. But we know that the man spoke, at least he was two verbal languages, and I consider mathematics a language in itself. So anyway, I'm glad he made a name for himself, and I ran across him yesterday because 24 hours ago I didn't even know who he was. Let's go to the phone lines here. 410 area code. Your mic is open.
Congratulations, Brother L.A. Hotep, to you and all of the people just listening.
Okay.
Any particular point? Two particular points. 50 years ago, I read a book by J.A. Rogers called Africa's Gift to America, and I read about Tom, Counting Tom. Thing is, that was very, very impressive. There's a whole lot of things that that gentleman did if you read the book. But see, when I hear artificial white folk, AWFs, talk about, Africans came over here, they were dumb and illiterate and they were useless pieces of shit. See, that's why I jump in their ass. Because, see, the white boy didn't just get illiterate people coming off that boat.
Right.
Before the white man even got there, Africa had university systems all over Africa. And the ones that you mostly hear about is Timbuktu and Jean and all of those other places. And let me give you this, because, I know I got some naysayers out there. See, when the Africans went up into Europe, they're the ones that set up those 16 university systems there in Europe when the Moors went in there. And you can read that for yourself. You don't have to believe it. But the thing is that the documentation is there. So I told you yesterday, but when those crackers came over here and set up colonies, all of them failed. Repeat, all of them failed. Until the African got over here. Because, see, Africans have superior knowledge. Just because you don't speak the language don't mean that you're illiterate or dumb.
Right.
That's just like a Korean coming over here can't speak English and set up a store in our neighborhood.
He knows how to count. He knows how to count.
And he knows how to set up a store so we spend our money with him. He knows how to set up a business. Or he or she. But see,
right.
If you look at it, first thing that says that dumb Korean, but that dumb Korean is getting your money. Or that dumb Arab is getting your money, even though he can't speak the language.
Let me comment on that, Beasley. I remember one time I was in D.C. and I went into this little neighborhood carryout for some Chinese food. And I had seen this play out before, but this guy, the customer that was ordering before me was a black guy. And he was giving the guy behind the counter, who was Korean, his order, and he, the black dude was, you know, mocking the dude's language, man. And the guy behind the counter kept his cool, didn't get bent out of shape, didn't say no expression. He just took the order, and then he took the guy's money.
Yeah.
And I just, that's the bottom line.
Exactly. And look, I'm going to give you this one. I used to have to do the same thing. Oh, you're a dumb nigger and all of this stuff. But, hey, look, I just gritted my teeth, didn't say a word, and I took the money when I was in the store. Oh, you know, you're Uncle Tom and all of this stuff. But, You see, we fell into this thing that you have to have a college graduate degree and that you have to have, you know, those connections. And like I told you yesterday, see, we bought into this thing of integration where we're satisfied with just getting crumbs off the table instead of doing what we need to do. You talked about what the artisans need to do. How can artisans help Yummy? Well, what are we artisans doing today to help the Yummy types? And I'm going to give you this one, and I'll get off. Nellie Fuller said it best. I said yesterday that black males can't be men, or we won't be men because we're scared. We're scared of white folk. And the thing is, Nellie Fuller said exactly what I've been telling you guys year after year after year. Yeah, you think that the white man ain't superior to you. But the thing is, whenever you have to go to another group of people for everything you need, and you can't build your own, you're a victim. You're a slave. Now, you can deny it all you want to, but Nellie Fuller said it succinctly and very, very precisely. And if anybody to deny that, you're just only fooling yourself. And that's all I got to say. You know, and
Beasley,
look, I'm going to give you
that book I can read up on Counting Time.
Africa's Gift to America by J.A. Rogers. He has a lot of other things in there that black folks accomplished in that book. But you see, you have some people out there that say black folks ain't never built nothing in this country, ain't never contributed anything to this society. And you know what? That goes to show you their lack of knowledge.
There's a preacher. I forgot the dude's name. I just saw his video a couple of times on YouTube. And boy, whoo, he just lamb blasted the blacks in Africa, not contributing anything to the civilization of man.
Well, guess what? I hear that on your
congregation of any size saying that stuff.
Well, I hear that every day on your program from a certain person. But anyway. Who am I to accuse a person of lack of knowledge? But
okay, that's Africa's Gift to America.
To America.
Okay, Joe Justice Rogers. All right.
Yeah, J.A. Rogers, yeah.
That's on my list. All right,
and
thank you for that.
If you Google J.A. Rogers, you'll see a whole lot of his books that pertain to blacks in the world history and the United States.
Okay,
but hey, congratulations to you, Joe, because J.A. Rogers said what I've been saying for years. But let me just get off and let somebody else talk.
All right, I'm fascinated with this count. And you know, I'm sure there were several people like that.
Thousands.
Right, there were but prolific.
But L.A., look, check this out. In Europe, did you ever take world history?
Yeah, I took it.
Huh?
Took world history. But, you know, that subject is so broad, Beasley, that, you know, I took it, though. I've taken it. I've taken classes on world history. In that curriculum, you know, a lot of the world is left out.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not. But in the world history that I took, it mostly concentrated on European history and how everybody else was savage.
Right. Exactly. It's not even covering all of Europe. All
right.
Leaves out Africa, Asia, the Americas. So it depends on that curriculum. So I took it. It's just time in an academic slavery. I think it was third grade in a history book. I still got that book because my mother kept all those books. They mentioned slaves, but they did, and then George Washington Carver, but they didn't go into that was it. They didn't go into any detail at all.
Well, they did. If you look at it carefully, they did. They just showed the superiority of Europeans, and the one thing that they stressed was Greek history and Roman history, and then it went into the medieval time. But what I'm trying to get across to you is this. If you read any European history book, it never shows you any accomplishments that Europeans made at that time. You can't find any scholarly type information about what they did to improve their societies.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Moors got there and taught them and set up these schools. Now, if you can find it, let me know. But the thing is, I noticed that when I was going. That's why that girl in my class said, well, Negroes ain't never done nothing. Why are we studying world history? If you go back and look, that's what I was saying. Sometimes when you're reading, you just call them words. But if you really put some thought to it, outside the box, you'll see that they would never mention any accomplishments at all. Like Greeks was the creators of democracy. That's not so. If you look at ancient African history and those empires, they created democracy. In fact, they took democracy in there. And if you read anything about Charlemagne and all of those idiots, Vandals and Visigoths and all of that stuff.
Right.
See, those were barbarians. Those were barbarians. In fact, Vandals, that word used, Vandals now is used to describe a destroyer. But if you just look at those particular books, go back and look at them, it never shows you they were masters of agriculture, master of husbandry and animal training and all of that stuff. It's non-existent. And look,
right.
Let me end on this note. You said something about this gentleman that went and discovered Brooklyn, Illinois, didn't you?
Well, he founded it. Frank McWhorter, who was a former slave.
Right.
He bought 80 acres of land and founded his own town.
Right. Well, you said he paid some money for 80 acres of land, I believe. Did I express that?
Yeah, I did say that. Uh-huh.
Well, now.
That's what I read.
Right. And I think I said at that time, immigrants coming over here was guaranteed 160 acres of land if they applied for citizenship. They didn't have to buy that land. He did. And look, he got less than what. For his money, he got less than what they were getting for free per acre. And the thing is, all of the Midwest now, where those Swedes and those Europeans are on all of that land in the Midwest and growing wheat and corn and all of that stuff. See, that's six generations generational wealth that has been
passed.
Generational wealth that has been passed down from generation to generations, and they got it for nothing. And this man had to pay for 80 acres, and he got less per acre for his money than they got for free. But see, when you're reading that, accomplished quite a bit with the little bit that he had. But I'm just telling you, when you're reading that, you think back and say, well, what was going on at that time? And you'll find that, hey, look, he couldn't get what they got, and he was amongst the few black folks that could even buy land because the majority of his people were slaves. 90.99% of the people that was there were slaves. And Abraham Lincoln, when he put out that Emancipation Proclamation, all he had to say was, look, we got the Homestead Act going here. Instead of arguing about 40 acres of land, he could have said, well, look, you go over there and claim what you want. That would have been generational wealth for us. And see, when you talk about these people looking for a check and reparations, and I got my reparations, see, you got to take into consideration generational wealth, according to white folks, started with the Homestead Act. Because when you own land, that's wealth. That's
right.
Where wealth is accumulated from. And that's why this conversation of reparations is so important to our kids, to let them know, hey, look, you know what? These bastards have always shortcome you and your people, and these bastards don't have any type of reparation program that can satisfy what you've accomplished with this nation.
Right.
And the other thing I must is, you know what? The thing is, whenever you get out here, you got to get your own, and he's going to always put stumbling blocks in your way, just like Nellie Fuller said. So now, you know, I'm going to let your other people talk. But Nellie
okay,
Fuller
but
said
what,
the best.
What we're going to do, hold on, Beasley. I'm going to mute you for a moment. Matter of fact, now, people, what I've got to do is I've got to go, I'm babysitting a pig. Okay, I got a pot belly pig that I'm babysitting for somebody. I got to go feed it. You have to feed it four times a day, put it to bed and all this. So it's roaming around in my yard. I got like a little bit over a quarter acre here. So let me go feed this pig real quick, and I'll be back in about 4 minutes for the next caller.
Thank you.
I guess that took longer than 4 minutes. Okay. But I had to feed, like I say, this pig eats four times a day. So he just had his, Henry the pig had his second meal of the day. All right. Our feature today was Thomas Fuller, who was known as the human calculator. And I'm going to see if I can find more information on him. But he proved back then that if you had those exceptional math skills, I think in one thing I read about him, he can actually see numbers. But in any event, he's piqued my interest more into, as a matter of fact, we had to have the math doctor in here one day as well. Hold it. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Let me get the right phone. 314 area code. Your mic is open.
Well, how you doing, L.A.?
I can't complain. Nice sunny day. Perfect temperature outside.
Well, let's talk about Mr. Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
His mathematic problems he worked out was not correct. You work them yourself, they don't come up to those numbers. Which is okay. Also, look at his name. What's his name?
Well, his American name, Thomas Fuller. Some people call that his slave name, Thomas Fuller.
Well, yeah, he had to learn. He had to learn from someplace because mathematics wasn't used in Benin to do what? Like that. And there's many people that can make those calculations on the day of the week when you were born, going back in time. And another point. When did he live?
1710 to 1790.
All right. Well, that's a long ways from the Rhine mathematical papyrus, the Moscow mathematical papyrus, of course, the 12th dynasty mathematician Imhotep, who built things. And when you know what you're looking at, you know that they was doing at least geometry in the construction of what it was that they built.
Correct. Rectangles, squares.
So to say that this man is the original human calculator.
Well,
now,
that's the title I put on him now. And Wikipedia didn't put that. I just put that out there.
I've heard him before. I've heard him before. Look, I ain't taking nothing from him. People can believe what they want to believe. It's okay. Just like Fuller is talking about what it takes to be a man. Well, that depends on what society you and culture you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every one has a different standard. That whites did not create. You go there in Burkina Faso with the Dagara people and their tribe. You got to go through a whole bunch of stuff in order to prove your manship. Has nothing to do with white folks. It's some more of that old dumbass crap you hear people talking about. It sounds mysterious and ooh-ah. So people don't think. They don't have the ability to do logical thinking. That's why they come up with this twisted logic. Do not teach that to my children. Stay away from them. You know, it's a funny thing. If you went in a room and you had chairs set on each side of the room, and you start, and you had these black professed know-it-alls just talking to a group of blacks and their kids. Now, let's say a group of blacks who has jurisdiction over their kids. By the time the displacement of the people in the room, you're going to have those over on that side of the room, you're going to have those over on the other side of the room. And the those that's talking and stuff, my kids is not going to be sitting with theirs. So guess what that does, L.A.? That throws this whole idea about monolithic unity out the window. It ain't no such thing. Think.
You're correct.
Ain't no such thing as no monolithic unity. None whatsoever.
Well,
and people don't get rid of things.
A prime example of that is what's going on in Ukraine right now. Ukrainians, most of them are white. Russians, most of them are white. And Biden is white. Okay.
What's going
on
in Ukraine? You got some provinces that want to break away, and they want to break away toward Russia. The same thing
right.
You had during the Civil War. You had states that said, we going this way, we don't want to be with you no more. And they had a right to do that. I don't want to talk about slavery. Good gracious, that's a daggone dead beaten horse. But you talk about the mathematics. And see, until you go there, then, too, you got to know what it is that you're looking at to understand that these people that done this, and didn't you tell me that Moors was not all black?
Yeah, not all of Moors were black. Matter of fact, when I read up on it, because I have a friend of mine that I grew up with, he's gung-ho. When he says Moor, the way he makes it sound is like every Moor was black. But when I started, just by going back to Wikipedia, the majority of Moors that I read about were white.
Well, yeah.
They came from Northern Africa, but they were white Africans.
Yeah, but you're right.
They were white Africans. They lived in North Africa.
Where did they come from? What was that? It's just like this thing with Hebrew. Where is they land at?
Right.
It's a language. So where is the Moors' land? Where is their government? Where is their homes and all that stuff? Hey, the idea comes from Morocco. Where is Morocco?
Northern Africa.
Damn right. Northern
Algeria,
Africa.
Northern
about,
Africa.
We're not talking
right.
about down in the, with the Negroid people.
No,
Negroid,
not
Negro.
That, you're right. The Moors were not sub-Saharan African.
That is exactly right. Ain't nobody, the slaves were not Mediterranean people. They came from Central and West Africa. And they went both directions. They went to the east. They came to the Western Hemisphere. A small amount ended up in the what we call America. The majority of them went down in Central and Southern America, even as far as Argentina, where they have disappeared. You know what caused them to disappear, L.A.?
What's it?
What caused them to disappear was that they were amalgamated. They are no longer who their ancestors were. And sometimes you really don't want to be who your ancestors were. Because in many cases of time for what your ancestors done, they was cursed. Spells put on. Hanks. So, you know, I'm not taking anything from anybody. Yes, within any group of people, you always going to have folks that's more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like W.D. Du Bois and his communist. And socialist leaning. He was a communist. That's why I come to the FBI. I was hampering them all the time. They was communists. Communists goes against the principle of capitalism in this country. So, yes, they're going to be watching. And all the attempts that was made in order to try to conglomerate them into an action of uprising against the internal, into the kernel order of this government, of this country. So they will watch. That's what they're supposed to do, obtain intelligence. Any country you go into, that's going to happen. So, no, if you have opportunity to go see these things, I mean, it don't have to be any particular thing. You look at the things that was going on in other countries, and you know the funny thing about knowledge, and literacy is reading and writing. If you can't read, you can't do no math. You can't read no formulas. You got to be able to read. You got to be able to write. What's in your mind, you got to be able to write it. The results of your computations, you got to be able to write them. Your understanding, you have to be able to read, then write it.
But then we got, now, periodically, we do have these different distinctions. For instance, all right, your profession, you're a builder. Let's take a person who could be a Rhodes Scholar, but they don't know how to read blueprints. I don't consider
that
person.
They can read the words. They can read the wording of the specifications which the blueprints are drawn off of. See, if you don't know the procedures and how the thing works, you're going to be left with these assumptions.
Right, and I mean, you just. I took a class on blueprints once. I need to take it again. But I needed to be. Most people are taught that. That's all part of the literacy. That's where I look at literacy. Because they're different types of literacy.
They may be taught it, but can they perform it in the field?
That's a whole different story.
Absolutely. Slaves was hired from. Funny thing is, I hired my men from the neck down. I didn't hire them from the neck up. Slaves were the same way. They was for their labor. Now, you might have got some caught up in the mix that had some particular qualities, which is good. Because you can take those qualities and you can leverage those qualities to get yourself away from those who are ignorant and don't know. Thus, you will become the boss. Out of all the men that I hired, my pushers had unique characteristics. They knew how to get what it was that I had to do done. And that don't just necessarily mean it's anybody who's faced with a task of getting something done. You got to have somebody who can do it.
Right.
And that's where the skill training comes on. They have to be experienced. Well, experience comes, they have to be trained. Then they have to gain experience in applying what it is that they learn in actuality. Anything else is not relevant. So slaves was bought for one thing. That's why come they was. When you went to the slave market, you had an idea of what you wanted. You looked for a person that was going to be appealing for what it was that you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
well, like
flying
you said, from
F-15,
the neck down.
Wait a minute. If you're flying F-15, if you got F-15s that you knew to fly, you can't have linebacker-sized bodies that you're going to acquire. Because they can't fit in the damn plane. Think. It's still all this emotional stuff. Timbuktu. Ain't no black Americans involved in that. Your stock comes from a whole different people. And none of that, and beyond that, you in America. You look at the mathematics. If you look at the mathematic prowess of your school children in your black communities, that whites don't have a damn thing to do with. They left that up to you. Teach your own kids. It's pitiful. It is very, very pitiful that those children are being child abused like that. But they accept it. Matter of fact, they use the slaves themselves because all they have to do is show up in the classroom. 11:30 in the morning in many districts, they count heads. And those heads are used in a formula in order to determine the amount of money that goes to that building out of that school district. And there's no requirement that a child needs to be educated. They just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Now, I mean, miraculously, some good comes out of it, but nowhere near what you would expect should come out of it, because the parents, the family, the community don't do the necessary things in order to produce that good. Go to Wikipedia and type in Black Nobel Peace Prize winners, which includes mathematics, physics, physiology, medicine, chemistry, and peace, literature. Where are the Black Nobel Peace Prize winners? What do they specialize in? I mean, just go in there and look.
Well, I'm looking at I'm on it right now, and the first
what
person
category?
That picture that popped up. All right, I'll go to him. Woe Soneka, Black Nigerian, first Black person to win a Nobel Peace Prize for Literature.
Uh-huh.
Derek Walcott. They don't put what he had on there.
They got
to
separate in groups.
Okay, here we are. You're right, you're right. I'm glad you pointed that out. All right. Literature, we got Woe Soneka, Dale Walcott, Toni Morrison, another person whose name I can't, from Zanzibar. Those
are
also, that's all literature.
What are the groups that they're showing up in?
All right, they're showing up in one person for economics, four in literature, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. The largest group is the peace group, and that's it.
On the list of Black Laureate, you got two categories that they show up in. One, literature. Soneka, Walcott, Toni Morrison, and Gulnaz. Literature.
Right.
Literature.
Literature.
Next one, peace. All the way from Ralph Bunche, who done the negotiation for to form the Nation of Israel in 1948. And you always come all the way down to Barack Obama in 2009,
mm-hmm.
to right now, Abiy Ahmed, who's in Ethiopia, from 2019. Now, where are your physicists? Where are your chemists? Huh?
There's none.
Where's your mathematicians?
The closest to math is would be, you have one in economics. W.R.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that's it.
That's what I'm talking about. Peace and literature. Write books and always find themselves begging for peace. You talk about the Ukraine and Russia. Like I said before, you got two provinces there in Ukraine that want to break away from the rest of the country. And they want Russia to protect them. Wise choice. Russia is not going to stand for the United Nations allies to install missiles in the Ukraine. Just like the United States wouldn't stand, although they were there, to install missiles in Cuba, although they were already there. But they took them out. What if Venezuela say, we want missiles, we want your protection, Russia? Right now, in the works on the West African coast, the nation of Guinea is permitting China, I'm talking about it, to put a naval base there. Why is China putting a naval base in Africa? Well, so they have to deploy troops to protect Chinese interests. What do you mean Chinese interests? Well, the businesses that they, and the projects that they built that they ain't been paid for. And if the country comes under coup d'etat, well, those interests have to be protected. Especially if you got a government that want to refuse to recognize what was bargained before they got there. You got a coup d'etat going on right now in Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
You got African nation, you got Nigeria being recolonized by guess who? The Fulani. They coming in and killing and raping, and they are carrying out ethnic genocide, ethnic cleansing.
Right.
As we speak. So you're going to take some black Americans, go over there and talk about, hey, what's up, brother, sister? Yeah, right. Some people kill you quick as a donut. Because they're already doing it to the people there. So I don't know what to say, and I'm not saying this from, you know, if those ancestors was no one of these, don't want you no more, and got rid of you, because you had to pay restitution. You didn't pay restitution, they got rid of your blood or killed you in many cases of the time. So you are looking at ancestors, you're the product of somebody that didn't want you.
Right.
Unless you prove yourself different. Not all. Maybe a lot. Some people leave aliens here amongst the population. I'm beginning to look at that too, because the way these folks are acting so strange, the way they're so eager to give up liberty that was prescribed in the Bill of Rights, U.S. Constitution, Article Federation, the Anti-Federate, and the Federate Papers, you wonder where in the heck this comes from.
Right.
Yeah. So all human beings contribute to the progress of humanity.
That's a fair assessment.
No matter how small it is or how large it is, that's what they do. Some groups are better than others at it. You look at your Jewish group, they are very excellent in when it comes to finance. When it comes down to technology in certain areas, you got other groups. Some groups are better than others.
Right.
And then you got some places on the world that just is barely a step or two from primacy. And they'll be that way until someone comes from the outside and show them a different light. They've been sitting there amongst themselves, and you come back, they are today as they were when you left them.
Right.
One step above primacy. So when you go in other parts of the world, you observe and see it, and it's always been the case. Then you take it back to where you come from and use what things that will benefit you. You were talking about C.R. Patterson. C.R. Patterson wasn't making engines. He used German engine, the Continental engine. His wheels was wooden spokes. He didn't have no metal wheels. So he made at what was at the time. Africa is not manufacturing a car. They don't. Why? They don't have steel manufacturing.
Yeah, they don't have the ability Uganda to roll shapes. On one.
Who?
Uganda. I think they're working on a car.
They are assembling somebody else's.
Excuse me. You're right. That's a very important distinction. You're right. They're assembling. You're right.
I could bring truckloads of iron out and lay them in the field, turn loose a bunch of chimpanzees, and they would do something. It may not be what I want or what the owner wants, but they would do something, put something together.
Right.
But is it what the person who's paying wants? You may have all these skills in the world, but can you take those skills, those talents, should I say, and apply them toward creating what the person that's paying for it, the people that's, that went and said, this is what we want, but can you provide that? Can you provide it in an orderly and timely fashion? Because those two create, those two equal costs. Cost equal money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the solution, LA? What a simple solution, which don't just apply to blacks, apply to whites too, but applies in many cases to certain segments of the black population, because it's not all, and that needs to be better defined when we hear people using these words, us and we. Who in the hell are you talking about, us and we? That has to be defined. But the simple solution, in many cases, is the education of your children.
True.
And more things than not, especially along the lines of this great nation that you live in. This is where you are. Course of events that happened in history led for me to be here today. I'm happy they happened. Because I know and have experienced and witnessed where supposedly a lot that are here today came from. And I don't want to live there. Great to be here. Don't mind visiting.
The United States is a pretty vast. The United States is very vast. There's a lot here to see.
What do you say?
There's a lot. The United States is vast, man. I mean, you got Alaska, which is over twice the size of Texas. Montana, I mean, there's a lot to see throughout the United States.
Yeah, the United States, you got a lot to see. It has been identified, the United States consists of about 11 countries, 11 different ideologies. People up in Washington State don't look at things as people in Florida. People in Florida don't look at things as those up in Vermont and Maine, Massachusetts. They're much liberal up there in those states. They don't like the death penalty. You go down to Florida, you commit a crime against the state, which is the people, well, you can be put to death.
Right.
To try to rehab a person costs money. So back in those days, in the 16th, if Africa, they didn't have the money to rehab people. Where did they get that from? Where did that even idea come from? Well, guess what they done? Just like they do here, they get rid of you. Some states, they put you to death. Some states, they put you in confinement. They got rid of you, take you out of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same way they've done back then, too. It has always been done. You even look back during the time of Imhotep, they had slaves, quote, unquote. They had slaves of different varieties. They all was not doing the same thing. And the name has been misconstrued today, which we've proved that. When people say they worked for nothing, well, that's just not true. They got paid in many cases.
Something. Right.
If you got your favorite, what kind of tools do you have? Name one or two.
I just bought a cordless drill yesterday.
All right. Well, you're going to use your cordless drill to mix cement? You're going to use your cordless drill to drive nail?
Drive screws and nails. Screws.
Well, you're not going to use it to mix cement, are you? Are you going to use your cordless drill to weld?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I would need special tools for that.
your cordless drill serves a particular purpose. Same thing with slaves. They wasn't going to misuse a slave. What sense does it make something that you just spent a lot of money on, then turn around and kill it or harm it?
Mm-hmm.
That just don't make any sense. Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
All right, and I'm going to wrap it up for the day. Oh, hold on, where's my end music here? As I'm up here trying to order lunch, and okay, let me view my order. Okay, something screwy with this. Anyway, people, have a good day. I got to check on my order. Have a good day.